Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Kansas State.
It was intense. There's no doubt. Both teams, we've had, you just played them whatever it was 9 days ago, and it went down to the end at their place. And, I thought we had to make a few adjustments. It was just a hard-fought game, playing them third time, two teams that are probably evenly matched. And we were very, very fortunate, made a couple plays. Our defense was great. Our balance was good. Got, some other guys stepped up. Dean and Barry, they weren't going to let Dean and Barry do what they've done the last few games. They took them away. They made some other people earn things. And actually, Max, I think two career highs are against them, 18 and 16. And Xavier made a couple big plays. I thought Cardi made a few big plays. And, it's just a gutsy win for our guys. Very, very proud of the
Kansas.
A drive by McGriff. A floater misses short. Rebound tipped about. Marcus Garrett has got it. And Kansas has the win. Rock, chalk it up. 13 straight. 25 win seasons for KU.
My dad always taught me it's always toughest to beat a team a third time. And then after I've been coaching, I always thought it was a lot of times tougher to win the third time because the other team has all the confidence playing against you. And the way they came out today, they were on fire and they had all the confidence. Having us down 24-14 to start. But we hung in there. Malik made some great plays in the first half and some timely shooting. And we didn't play great. Certainly down the stretch, but we played well enough, and our first shot defense was good enough to carry us. But proud of our guys. I can be pretty critical of our guys sometimes because I expect so much. I still don't think we rebounded the ball great, didn't do some things great, but I did think there were some guys that stepped up and made some great plays, and certainly playing shorthanded. We think a team that rebounds the ball like Oklahoma State wouldn't be the best formula for success, but the guys responded pretty well.
Missouri.
What does Mizzou come up with? There's the look. Not the result they wanted. And Georgia. The Georgia Bulldogs, the 12 seed here in this SEC tournament, they advance to the quarterfinals. That's a great win in a road environment for Coach Fox and the Bulldogs.
What we try to do more than anything is just have a few things where Mike can play out of that. So it didn't flow as well. I think part of that was too because guys were in foul trouble. Kevin in foul trouble in the 10 minutes. Jeremiah in foul trouble. So you don't have a real flow. So I thought the biggest thing was really just trying to put Mike in position where he can catch and shoot as opposed to having to make plays off the dribble, attacking the rim. Because that takes time when you're getting your legs up on you, the adrenaline of the crowd, the energy, all that. So really was trying to put him in position where he's just more or less a spot shooter or posting up, making plays at the rim. But because of lineups and situations, we had to put him out there probably some extended minutes due to foul trouble. But I thought he did a good job. I thought he did a solid job outside of just really kind of settling in and letting the shot come to him.
The Kansas City Royals.
Vargy had a great game tonight. He threw the ball well for us.
That's it for the Border Patrol. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Monday right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Goodbye, everybody.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me.
Show's over. Nate's leaving, everyone. Someone pick him up.
Bye-bye.
Oh, boy.
So I get mocked for putting a long intro together.
No, you get mocked because it was a joke with me because I don't want to talk about the Missouri loss.
Okay.
I got a tweet.
My four minute intro.
No, I got a tweet from someone last night. I guess you ain't going to be there tomorrow
to
talk about the Mizzou loss.
Good thing you didn't show up.
Right. It would have been better, but the moose, the moose at the end. Robbed my comedic timing because it was right after the Mizzou thing. I was, all right, see you later. Gotta go. Someone's waiting for me. Gotta get out of here.
Yeah, I probably should have let off with that.
You know what, though? No. Save the best for last.
Well, that's kind of what I was trying.
I love that intro because, I don't love all of it. There was a certain part of it that I hated, the call of the last shot by Cassius Robertson.
Yeah. Just play that part again,
right,
Jake, and then Steven can make the joke again.
That was a terrible That was that Georgia? Whose play call was that?
I believe it was off the SEC Network.
Was it? Okay. Anyway, I love the intro because I needed, right after I heard the replay of the Missouri, I needed something to lift me up. And as soon as I heard St. Elmo's Fire, that gave me a little jolt of energy. So I needed that. That was like a nice hot cup of coffee. I might have you play that 15 times during the show.
Yeah, I can do that.
Oh boy, what a freaking day yesterday,
right? Man.
I mean, you almost need like a 15-minute promo to try to explain everything that happened yesterday. Yeah. I mean, it's one of them days, man.
Yeah, and that's just with the local schools. I mean, all around college basketball yesterday.
But just like, so college basketball, I'm winding down last night. I'm starting to read some post-game articles and figure out, okay, you know, what's everyone saying about the Mizzou loss? What's everyone saying about the Sunflower Showdown Part 3? And then John Heyman tweets out, Royals haven't given up hope on signing Moustakas. Like, oh, okay, wait a minute. Now hold on here. Am I being toyed with? Is this just Scott Boras floating some stuff out there?
My Moustakas.
To help negotiate with another team? Because John Heyman's been accused of that, of being a mouthpiece for Scott Boras. He's been accused of being his puppet. Being like a ventriloquist, he's been accused of sitting on Scott Boras' knee. And Scott Boras says, where would he put his hand, though?
Right up his...
That would make me talk.
Took it.
Hey!
Hey, hello.
What's that? And so, you know, so the first tweet, I'm like, huh? Eh, really? But I'll be honest with you, I allowed myself to get my hopes up because... And again, there were some people, shockingly, that found a way to be negative about it. But, I mean, so I'm sitting there, well, hell yes, I want Moose back. Like, why wouldn't I? If you're a Royals fan, why wouldn't you want him back? Okay. All right. So you're saying there's a chance. All of a sudden, it's Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance. And then other people start tweeting about it. And then... It seems like, well, is this actually going to happen? And then, wait a minute, is this going to happen tonight? I mean, is this really going on? And so, look, of course, I needed a pick me up last night after the Mizzou loss, but it went from John Heyman tweeted out, it once looked extremely unlikely, but Royals are back talking to Mike Moustakas about a possible reunion, and there appears to be some hope. Nothing done yet, however. Okay, all right, it's all right. They're talking. There appears to be some hope, but that just feels like that another team's going to swoop in, okay? And there it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then John Heyman tweets out, update, Royals have made an offer in hopes of bringing back Mike Moustakas and are waiting to hear back. Well, that's the next step. All right. And then after that, Heyman tweets out, sources, Moustakas and Royals are close to a deal. Reunion said extremely likely. From Robert Murray and me. Eggplant emoji. So then you're like, whoa. I said, now, that's pretty specific, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then all hell broke loose.
Coronal mass ejection.
And then you find out he re-signed with the Royals. And again, look, I get it. People are frustrated about this so-called youth movement that is not a youth movement. But just like I tweeted last night, I'm glad he's back. It's a really, really good deal for the Royals financially. It makes sense. At that price, why not? Are people really going to lose sleep over Chesler Cuthbert losing an opportunity to play third base every day? I mean, $6.5 million with a chance with incentives to make $8.7 million. What do you think he made last year?
I would guess that he made about $8 million last year.
$8.7 million, and so if he reaches his the necessary plate appearances, He'll make the same thing that he made last year. There's a mutual option for 2019 for $15 million. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't think so. He'll probably, you know, try to re-enter free agency again, but who knows? I didn't think he's going to come back and sign this deal. But, I mean, okay. All right. I mean, if you ask me whether I'd rather, if I'd rather have Mike Moustakas on the team or not, give me Moose. Give me Moose. And for $6.5 million, really, really, why not? And so it was, I mean, every baseball guest that we've had on, we've asked repeatedly, hey, have you heard anything about Moose? Hey, have you heard anything about Moose? And Buster, only last time we had him on, has heard nothing. They've tried to look and see what teams would be a fit. And every time you'd identify a team, then they'd go in a different direction, all the way from the beginning of the offseason. We thought it was going to be the Angels. Well, then they signed Zach Cozart. You thought it was going to be the Yankees. Well, then they trade for Brandon Drury. It just, you know, we thought, okay, the Giants kind of make sense. Well, then they trade for Evan Longoria. So every time there was a team you'd identify, they would go out and they would make a move for a third baseman, and it wouldn't be Mike Moustakas until finally the game of musical chairs was over and he didn't have a place to sit. And the Royals were like, hey, we're pretty comfy. Come here. Come and sit on us. Wait a minute.
What?
Is that how?
No.
You get it, though, don't you? I mean, you understand. I mean, that makes...
It's a metaphor, I guess.
And so last night, Mike Moustakas sat on us.
Right on top of you.
It sounded a lot better in my head when I was... you get the point.
Head?
Sat with us? He's sitting with us.
There you go.
He's back on the team, is what I'm trying to say, yeah. Kansas City. And so, yes, I was very excited and very happy. I mean, it's for 1 year.
I'm so confused.
Why not, though? So what was, like, both of you, what was your reaction? So, like, were you able to follow along? As this was happening, like, okay, possibility, maybe, and they got him.
No, so, like, I missed the whole build-up to it. So there was no foreplay for me. It was just...
Yeah, that's right to it, huh?
A regular Thursday night for Nate Buchanan.
Yeah, like the same old. Like the fast food joint. It was the In-N-Out burger for me, you know.
No, I
got done with all the stuff on stage last night around 10 o'clock or so, and I got on Twitter and I saw the report. Mike Moustakas is signing a 1-year deal with the Royals for whatever it is, $6 million or whatever. I'm like, what?
Right.
I was just like, where did this come from? Are you kidding me? Just completely caught me off guard. And the first thing I thought was, didn't he turn down a qualifying offer for something like $17 million from the Royals?
Yes.
And then I looked and I saw Rustin Dodds fine reporting that, yes, he did in fact turn down a $17.4 million contract qualifying offer from the Royals. And then there's reports that he turned down a 3-year, $45 million deal from the Angels. And the Royals got him for $6 million, man. I mean, I 8.7, I guess. If let's just assume he makes the incentives, okay. Awesome,
Jake.
I mean, I saw that the first tweet come out, and I was like, huh, this is. It felt like okay, now we're gonna have a bidding war, and the Royals are gonna lose.
Tweet, I was like,
Yeah, I mean, it's like 1-year deal, and then I felt like there's a team that's going to come in and offer a 3-year deal or something like that for, you know.
They're negotiating through John Heyman right now.
Right, exactly. So I saw that pop up, and then I saw more tweets like, I can't remember who they're from, but just kind of a stir that this might be real. This might really be happening. Right.
Okay.
And so at that point in time, I was so confused because I've been pretty... I don't know. I upfront about how I think that, okay, great. What you need to be doing is the recipe of what the Astros and the Cubs have been doing. They're totally tanking. In the John Jay signing and the Duda signing, nice solid pieces for teams that are contending, but for a team that's not really in it, what's it for, really? So you can win 80 games or 78 games instead of 72 or 70? I wasn't all about that. But with this, I'm just like so confused. I'm like, yes, yes. All right, now it's like, huh, okay. For me, it kind of opened my mind to, well, let's see what we got. Let's get Moose back in here. For me, and it's almost like like you did, the hook. Like it's like I'm kind of gonna buy in. I'm gonna be out of the ballpark probably more than I would have been.
And I mean, like 9:30 p.m., I was back in.
Right.
I'm like excitedly texting friends that you know aren't idiots and looking at Twitter constantly. I'm hey. We brought Moose back, and they're right. And I'm like, getting excitement.
I'm a sucker.
I'm Caesar, I'm like, hey,
sucker.
You know, all right.
I'm okay with it. I think.
And so, a couple of things to take away from it. Number one, if they surprise some people and they're pretty good, okay, all right, whatever, fine. I'll go watch a better team than I thought.
Yeah.
Number two, if they're still not very good. What they've done is they're acquiring veteran guys who they could flip, who they could use as trade chips at the trade deadline.
Yes.
Because I do think, as opposed to the past couple of years when people thought they should make deals and they were hesitant, I don't think they'll be hesitant to do it this time around if clearly they aren't contenders. And they're still probably not going to be contenders. But if Duda or Jay or Moose or any of these guys have a hot first half, and the Royals clearly aren't a contender, I don't think they'll hesitate to try to flip these guys and try to replenish the farm system. And so this still could have a chance to jumpstart the rebuild if they go that route. And they still have a good number of picks coming up in this draft. It's just it comes down to with Moustakas, did you really have your heart set on Chesler Cuthbert playing? And I saw a couple of people, well, I wanted to really find out about these guys. Here's the deal. I think we're finding out about these guys, or at least finding out what the Royals think about these guys. Okay, there have been no Ned Yost speeches. I've never been wrong about a player like this. He's not, you don't hear anyone with the Royals putting themselves on the line, you know, for any of these players, right? And it's, When they signed Duda, that was pretty much, we might look at some of these guys later on, but they're not ready. They signed John Jay. They bring back Moose. Now, the Moose thing just might be opportunity was there and they took advantage of it, but that's a pretty strong statement about what they think right now of some of these young players that we thought they were going to give a chance to.
Also, that price is ridiculous. I mean, what a bargain. I mean, seriously. For 1 year, yeah, okay. I know you're not getting a long-term deal out of him, but what if he would have taken the qualifying offer? I mean, that's $17 million. You're saving almost, you know, $9 million almost.
And this might also lead to a quicker hook for a guy like Jorge Soler. And if he's, you know, he's swinging at the wind as he has in the past, a DH, well, then you could DH Moose some. You could DH Cuthbert. And
right.
You get a bats there. It just means that maybe a couple of weeks ago when we thought, hey, Soler, Cuthbert, those guys, they're getting 400 or 500 at bats, sink or swim, and we're gonna find out. Now it's like, well, you better hit because there's other guys battling for those at bats now.
And who was it? Was it B Mac who was talking about due to splits and how horrible they are?
Right. Oh, they are.
Right. But so I mean
he's a platoon player.
We saw Cuthbert a couple times at first.
So I mean John Jay was also a platoon player last year for the Cubs.
Right. And so I mean there's gonna be a mix and I'm sure Ned will mess around with it a little bit here and there if, you know, ooh. If Duda shows that those numbers keep trending, I'm sure Duda is going to be given every opportunity.
Right. And for play. Duda and Jay, for what they're making, you're not going to say, well, we're paying this guy $3 million. He stays in the lineup.
Right.
No, if he doesn't produce.
It's not the out. Gordon deal.
Why do you bring that up? We were talking about such good things right now.
Well.
Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand a little bit if fans, you know, are ready to see Chesler Cuthbert, he's 25 years old, and you know he basically sat all of last year. And if you think he's going to be a player, I don't know that it helps his development to have him sit for another year. But I think what you said is, and this is what I've been told for a long time. I don't think
who told you
many scouts view Chesler Cuthbert to have the same type of ability as Mike Moustakas. Like I don't think. He's really considered by anybody to be the type of prospect that Mike Moustakas is as a player, if that makes sense, you know? So, I mean, gosh, I've always talked about how the Royals are like, you know, they're TJ Maxx shoppers. They're not shopping at Saks Fifth Avenue. They're not going to go spend top dollar for.
And again, I tell you, I go to Kohl's, which is very unbelievably reasonable.
Yeah. But TJ Maxx is the type of place where you can get some really, really good stuff for really cheap if the timing is right and if they've got this, if they've got the good shipment in. But it's kind of hit and miss. You know, sometimes you can go there and you sift through and there's, man, there's nothing here. But the other times you go and it's like, man, there's a lot here today.
How often do you go to TJ Maxx?
I mean,
it sounds like you spend.
I used to go there a lot.
A lot of time.
I'm more of a Saks Fifth Avenue guy.
Now I'm a Marshalls guy.
Back in the day.
Marshalls, TJ Maxx, Kohl's.
Yeah.
Nate also used to shop at TJ Carpenter, which is.
Oh, yeah. No. I still do.
That place sucks.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
But it's like this offseason, they just backed up the truck at TJ Maxx, and there's just players everywhere.
Well, and I don't think this was the plan.
$3 million.
I really don't think this was the plan.
No, I mean, it's...
Well, no, who thought Moose was going to be available in the second week of March?
Yeah. Well, I think that wasn't supposed to happen. The same with Duda and John Jay. I don't think they were, you know... I think these guys are just sitting there. And it's like, okay, well.
Solid major league player for 1 year, $3 million.
And also, taking a look at some of these guys this spring, you know, they're like, eh.
Like, they're probably like, we might not get to 70 wins.
That could be true.
But I think the best point is.
Or just that, like, see, because, like, you can go with the rebuild, but if you don't have the prospects to play. And that's kind of my point of it, a lot of this to me does illustrate where. They are in the rebuild process. They are not, what would it have been, like 2012 Royals where Moose and Haas and Salvi and these guys are coming
going
up.
Into their prime.
The guys they've got coming up right now are B-level prospects. Let's just call it what it
and
is.
And I think look and see what Moose and Haas, people forget what they were doing in the minors.
Right.
And we'd sit and we were demanding.
Oh, yeah. I remember there was
like
a constant Hosmer Haas
update. Why the hell won't they call him up?
Right.
Like, we're, who do you
there
feel that way?
There was a daily Hosmer update that you were giving.
Who do you feel that way that you're looking like, this guy is ready, and they're roadblocking him. Look at his numbers. But you don't feel that way about anymore.
Mondesi had a pretty good minor league year last year.
That's the closest thing.
Right.
And we've seen him stink out loud at the major league level, so it takes a little bit of the shine off that.
Sure.
I mean, at the time, the Royals had the consensus number one farm system in the country. Right now, the Royals do not have that. Like, if you look at Baseball America, not that that's gospel, but their top prospects are guys in A-ball.
Mm-hmm.
They're not guys that are knocking on the door.
I do love Khalil Lee. Thanks for bringing him up.
Yeah, I mean, that perfect example. And, Prado, he played, rookie ball last year?
People are going to be so sick of Khalil Lee just because of me mentioning him every day.
Well,
and I'm sorry. That's putting a lot of pressure on him, but whatever.
Don't be sorry.
I look forward to when he's here.
Get the audio of a kid in the north and go, we got Khalil Lee.
I'm getting tickets.
I get tickets.
I would get tickets.
And these are just, and speaking of tickets, they're like lottery tickets. Signing Moose, like, because if we aren't in contention, you could, a team in contention that doesn't have a third base or a guy goes down to injury, I mean, you might be able to get some decent value for these guys. And so I think that's kind of a nice little backup plan to help build that system that you're talking about, Nate.
And look, and I've said this a lot, and I know I get it. The draft is a lot more than just the first round picks. But because they hit on those picks, we just mentioned Moose and Haas. You're talking about number 2 pick overall, number 3 pick overall, and they nailed him. And there was pressure to play them because they were playing so well in the minors, and they were considered top prospects. There's a stretch right now that you're seeing what the result is of missing high first-round picks, top 10 first-round picks. Bubba Starling, Kyle Zimmer, Hunter Dozier. Those are all top 10 guys that so far they've whiffed on. And so there's no pressure. No one's demanding to see him. I kind of want to see him, but none of those guys have forced the issue, right? Like the way Moose did and the way Haas did.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. I mean, look at their first-round picks from 2010 on. A lot of swing and misses. And so when you make a first-round, when you pick a guy in the top 10 or even in the top 5, and he's lighting it up in the minors, the fan base wants to see him. Everyone talks about him. None of those guys that I just mentioned were nobody is demanding to see them because they're not even playing well in the minors. And like Zimmer doesn't even pitch. I mean, he doesn't even participate. Hunter Dozier, I mean, what does he do? He says, well, I got to see this guy. He's forced the Royals' hand. You can't keep him back anymore. Same thing with Bubba, unfortunately. So, and the Royals have put themselves in that position, and that's a bad thing.
You know, and we have a tendency here to break down baseball from a baseball standpoint, as we're doing right now, which is great. But in this town, these guys, man, there's a connection to this town. This guy brought a World Series championship to a city that's starving for a winner. And there's a special place in all of our hearts for a guy like Moose, and we get to have him for another year for cheap. That's a positive right there.
How happy is the guy that has the big the Jeep with the moose?
Right.
The moose Jeep.
The big antlers.
Yeah, he's like,
my Mutaka.
I can't take this out to the stadium next year. Like, oh, yeah, you can. My One Mutaka. More year. He's driving around right now.
I was cleaning out the T-shirts in my closet this winter. I got this Moose T-shirt, right. And I got the Breaking Balboni one that Conrad McGorkin gave us, and I thought about giving him, put him into Goodwill because I thought he was going to be gone.
Where did you get those at? You said you got into what?
The Conrad McGorkin?
No, before. The shirts you got.
In my closet?
Yeah. What did you do after you got them?
I put them in my closet.
Oh, you came out of the closet after.
Came out of the closet, yeah.
And back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. And you. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. Thanks for listening on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks to all the great fans out at the Miller Lite Fan Fest presented by Sports Radio 810 WHB. It was a full day out at P&L. Had a chance to broadcast live from McFadden's yesterday morning. We had a good crew down there, Nate. And then we were on stage for the entire day doing a variety of contests. We had the Limbo contest, which is always very popular.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Shemeika's Italian Sausage Eating Contest. A huge upset. You think that the 12 seed Georgia beating the 5 seed Mizzou was a big upset. We had a young lady that went up against a gentleman who I would say tipped the scales. What would you say? About three bills?
Yeah, right around 300.
And gave us his nickname of Sweet Rolls. And which was fantastic. Do you like that one, Jake? That's a good nickname.
Yeah.
That's
fantastic.
I said, what's your name, sir? And he said, I can't
Sweet
remember.
Sweet Rolls. Billy Sweet Rolls Johnson.
They call me Sweet Rolls.
Like, yeah.
Well, yes, they do, Mr. Sweet Rolls.
I would have been like 20 on that guy.
I'm thinking, well, this guy's going to win.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Right.
And he lost to a lady, Jayhawk, who I think beat him by a couple of sausages.
Yeah.
Beat him by a couple of sausages.
Lady Jayhawks can take it down.
I don't know if that's exactly what the point of the story was.
She was a relatively petite gal.
Right.
You know, you didn't go, oh, this gal's going to go and put away the sausage.
But look at the eating challenges. I mean, Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut, they're not the biggest guys in the world.
We should know by now.
You just have to know how to put it down.
Exactly.
I will say this, the thing I enjoyed about Sweet Roll, first of all, he had my favorite combination on, which is the ball cap backwards with sunglasses on. You know, like kind of. Like, I don't really know why I have a ball cap on, but I got the sunglasses on
style.
At the same time.
It's style.
And
Nate.
Then he was enjoying the sausage.
Right.
Like he was dancing. Mm. He was kind of teasing the sausage.
He had a Miller Lite in one hand and a sausage in the other, and that's just how it was.
It's respectable.
He wasn't in a lot, you know. But then
he was like savoring it. I think he just thought to himself, I'll give myself a couple free sausages. Right.
It was like
he was enjoying it.
This is lunchtime.
How many Shemeika's Italian sausages you could eat in 3 minutes? Right? And so at the end of the 3 minutes, then we thought Sweet Rolls was in trouble because he bent over, it was on the table.
Sausage!
And it looked like maybe that we were going to have an issue. I think Nate went, hey, go grab that trash can. We might have an issue. Yeah, but Sweet Rolls rose from the ashes and was able to walk off stage. And
yeah, with his head held high.
Yeah, well, I don't think he had his head. I think his head was was hanging, about ready to vomit. But that's, you know, hey. That's what you got to do in the heat of competition.
That's right.
You got to push yourself. You have to push yourself to the limits. And so we had a great time yesterday. We had the dance contest at halftime of the Kansas game. Threw out a bunch of T-shirts and everything. Hope everyone had a good time yesterday out at Miller Lite Fan Fest. We'll do it all today. I think I'm going to get there around 2 or 2:30 and then get you ready for the Sunflower Showdown And then what should be a really, really good game in the night session between Texas Tech and West Virginia. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll play some post-game sound from Bill Self, and we'll hear from Bruce Weber and Konzo Martin right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Someone just tweeted to me that the man with the moose mobile is Craig. His name is Craig. Craig, if you're out there.
What up, Craig?
You know what? It's a good day for you.
Yeah. Celebrate.
The moose mobile lives for one more season.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, if you're that guy, you got. I mean, you were just high-fiving last night. That's fantastic. I feel good for him.
Rolled up the Bloomers tailgate again.
I'm really glad I didn't donate my my two moose-themed T-shirts to charity like I was going to. I mean, I was really close. And I thought, you know what? He hasn't signed anywhere else yet.
You don't want to keep those just like for, I mean,
yeah,
represent nostalgic? The best times of your life?
I don't know. It feels weird wearing a shirt. I don't know. Just in general, it feels weird wearing a shirt.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? If you don't want to, just...
you take it off.
You know, I mean, like after guys left us, I don't know.
Yeah, just, but I mean...
Mark.
I mean, I still like anything like with 85... I love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I guess if you kept it long enough, it would come back around to being wanting to wear it again.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any bad feelings towards any of those guys that helped bring a title here.
Oh, I don't have any bad feelings. I just
feel awkward wearing
it's
something.
Like, if I went out to watch the Royals this year wearing a Haas shirt, I'd feel like.
Oh, there'll be plenty of
you'd
those.
You feel good, I would imagine.
There'll be plenty
of
those.
Not on the team anymore. I mean, I'm here to root for the team. You know.
Then whose jersey would you get then? So you can Salvi. I got a Salvi.
Well, sure.
Well, I won't feel weird wearing a Pounders jersey out there.
You can wear my Salvi jersey. It would look like a sundress on you. Yeah, you wear the Brooks Pounders. That's not going to stop you.
That's different, though. That's because he's Jake Pounders.
Right.
It's true.
That won't stop you.
No.
Let's hear from Bill Self after KU's win. They beat Oklahoma State. Woo! 82-68.
Malik Newman was awesome.
Bill Self says he was happy to get that win yesterday at the Big 12 tournament.
My dad always taught me it's always toughest to beat a team a third time. And then after I've been coaching, I always thought it was a lot of times tougher to win a third time because the other team has all the confidence playing against you. And the way they came out today, you know, they were on fire and they had all the confidence. Having us down 24-14 to start. But we hung in there. Malik made some great plays in the first half and some timely shooting. And we didn't play great, certainly down the stretch, but we played well enough. And our first shot defense was good enough to carry us. But proud of our guys. You know, I can be pretty critical of our guys sometimes because I expect so much. I still don't think we rebounded the ball great, didn't do some things great. But I did think there were some guys that stepped up and made some great plays. Certainly playing shorthanded. You would think a team that rebounds the ball like Oklahoma State wouldn't be the best formula for success, but the guys, you know, responded pretty well.
That was Bill Self after the win against Oklahoma State. Now let's hear from Bruce Weber, who was very happy to beat the Frogs.
It was intense. There's no doubt. Both teams we've had, you just played them whatever it was 9 days ago, and it went down to the end at their place. And you know, I thought we had to make a few adjustments. It was just a hard fought game playing them third time. Two teams that are probably evenly matched, and we were very, very fortunate. Made a couple plays. Our defense was great. Our balance was good. Got some other guys stepped up. Dean and Barry. They weren't going to let Dean and Barry do what they've done in the last few games. They took them away. They made some other people earn things. And actually, Max, I think two career highs are against them, 18 and 16. And Xavier made a couple big plays. I thought Cardi made a few big plays. And, it's just a gutsy win for our guys. Very, very proud of them. The defense was, you talk a team that's number one in a lot of categories in our conference offensively and also in the country in the top 10. And our guys are committed to it. Our coaches do a great job of scouting report. And you hold them in the 50s, really, until it goes overtime, and that's still in the 60s. 3 out of 5 times we've been able to do that. They've only been held in the 60s 5 times all year. So good effort by our guys. Really gutsy. I'm very, very proud of them.
K-State's defense was excellent, and I know they won. But, my God, if you are up 3 and the clock is ticking down 5, 4, 3, foul. You got a foul.
Yeah.
You cannot let TCU.
Under 5 seconds.
Were you guys surprised at all that TCU didn't foul K-State with about 30, 32 seconds left?
You know, I always like to extend the game.
Right. That's how
make teams win it at the free throw line. Am I surprised? No, because I see enough coaches do it. But just for me, it's philosophical. I want to foul. I want to extend the game because, I mean, just look at the Missouri game. It didn't happen for Missouri, but Georgia missed 3 of 4 free throws that allowed Mizzou to have a shot to win it at the end.
Right, and that game's over if Barry Brown hits that shot with 8 seconds left.
You just miss free throws. I mean, teams miss free throws left and right. So, yes, I'm always a fan of extending the game putting the team on the line in pressure situations. But
that's a no-brainer foul with 5 or 6 seconds left in a half court.
Oh, at the end of regulation.
So,
you got a foul.
If it's hard to beat a team 3 times in 1 year, does that mean advantage K-State tonight over KU?
I think so.
Oh, boy.
I think so.
Sounds like Nate's leaning towards the Wildcats.
I think that we talked about it yesterday and how the team rallied around the lack of Doak in this game against Oklahoma State. The revenge factor was big, and I think there's probably a little bit of a letdown on Kansas's side, and K-State is playing for a seed. I think Lunardi has him, on the 9 line right now?
Oh, so, we'll talk about that.
Kansas is a 6-point favorite tonight.
Lunardi. I believe it's Lenardi that has an 8-9 matchup between Mizzou and K-State in his bracketology.
Whoa,
we will take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from Konzo Martin and Michael Porter Jr. on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Do you like the stories I tell in commercial breaks? Are they fun?
I enjoy them. I enjoy the hell out of them.
Well. We'll be back at the Miller Lite Fan Fest, presented by Sports Radio 810 WHB, all day and all night tonight. So come out and join us. If you got tickets, go to the game. If you don't, go to Fan Fest and hang out. Susan St. John will be there, and so
I think I might venture down.
Right.
A lot of people asking about you yesterday.
I'm going to be there. Jake doesn't even consider it. I say Susan's going to be there. I think I'm going to go down to Fan Fest tonight.
I care less about you.
Right.
Your lovely wife.
Wait.
Yeah, she's more fun to hang out with.
Welcome to everyone in my life. let's hear from, let's start with Michael Porter Jr. You know, he played yesterday.
I heard about that.
He was very, very rusty, but then he hit a big 3 with less than a minute left to knock Georgia's lead down to 1. He missed a 3 that would have given Mizzou the lead. And then Konzo Martin drew up a beautiful play, and Mizzou had a wide-open look for 3 from their all-conference player and leading scorer, and he missed the shot. That was you could not have asked for a better look, and I wanted them to go for the win because Kevin Puryear and Jeremiah Tillman had already fouled out, and Brett Rao was playing a lot of minutes, and so tried to win the game there. They did. They got a magnificent look out of the timeout. Didn't fall. Here, Michael Porter Jr. says he was happy to finally get back on the floor for Mizzou.
Well, it felt good to be back out there, for sure. I love being out there with my team. My whole thing coming back was just to be able to help where I can and do what I can to help.
Mike, did it feel good to get assists from your brother and to assist your brother in scoring and see him score and play today like you knew he could?
Yeah, no, it was great to see Jonte. I mean, he had a pretty good game offensively. And so I'm proud of him, but it was really fun to be out there with him. The encouraging part for us is just that he's the only one that really had a good offensive game. We played, to me, about as bad as we played offensively besides him as we have all year. So we got some things we got to fix, but it was small things. We were just missing shots.
It's not a mystery why Mizzou lost. Jordan Barnett played 38 minutes, and I feel like he played 4 minutes. He did not exist in that game. Kevin Puryear played 10 minutes and fouled out. Tillman played 17 minutes and fouled out. And Cassius Robertson was really, really bad. And Michael Porter Jr., he was 5 of 17 from the floor, but the plus-minus when he was on the floor, Mizzou was plus 10. When he was off the floor, they were minus 12. Let's hear from Konzo Martin after the game.
What we try to do more than anything is just have a few things where Mike can play out of that. So it didn't flow as well. I think part of that was too because guys were in foul trouble. Kevin in foul trouble in the 10 minutes. Jeremiah in foul trouble. So you don't have a real flow. So I thought the biggest thing was really just trying to put Mike in position where he can catch and shoot as opposed to having to make plays off the dribble, attacking the rim. Because that takes time when you're getting your legs up under you, the adrenaline of the crowd, the energy, all that. So really was trying to put him in position where he's just more or less a spot shooter or posting up, making plays at the rim. But because of lineups and situations, we had to put him out there probably some extended minutes due to foul trouble. But I thought he did a good job. I thought he did a solid job outside of just really kind of settling in and letting the shot come to him.
Brett Rao had played 28 minutes this season. He played 9 in that game yesterday because of the foul trouble. And Mizzou did not play well enough to win. They lose 62-60, but on to the NCAA tournament. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. And let me tell you something, Nate Buchanan is like Nostradamus. He said at the beginning of the offseason, he wanted to see Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters on the same team, and I'll be damned if it didn't happen. Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, not on the team that you thought, or maybe you did say the Rams. I don't know, but you said you wanted that to be your cornerback tandem. You made it happen.
It had happened.
You made it happen. All right? You spoke, and the Rams listened because they tune in to Sports Radio 810 WHB.